read all of the emails exchanged between the White House and other federal officials and Facebook in particular, but also some of the other platforms. And I see that the White House and federal officials are repeatedly saying that Facebook and the federal government should be partners. We're on the same team. Officials are demanding answers. I want an answer. I want it right away. When they're unhappy, they curse them out. There are regular meetings. There is constant pestering of Facebook and some of the other platforms, and they want to have regular meetings, and they suggest, why don't you, they suggest rules that should be applied, and why don't you tell us everything that you're going to do so we can help you and we can look it over. And I thought, wow, I cannot imagine federal officials taking that approach to the print media, our representatives over there. If you did that to them, what do you think the reaction would be? And so I thought, you know, the only reason why this is taking place is because the federal government has got Section 230 and antitrust in its pocket, and it's, to mix my metaphors, and it's got these big clubs available to it. And so it's treating Facebook and these other platforms like their subordinates. Would you do that to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Associated Press or any other big newspaper or wire service?
So there's a lot packed in there. I want to give you one very specific answer first and then step back out to the broader context. So specifically, you mentioned demanding an answer right away and cursing them out. The only time that happens is in an email that's about the president's own Instagram account. It's not about moderating other people's
content. Okay, we'll put that aside. There's all the rest. So constant meetings, constant emails. We want answers.
Right.
We're partners. We're on the same team. Do you think that the print media regards themselves as being on the same team as the federal government, partners with the federal government?
So potentially in the context of an effort to get Americans vaccinated during a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And I really think that piece of context, it doesn't change the First Amendment principles, but it's relevant to how they apply here. And I think it's important to understand that at this time, this was a time when thousands of Americans were still dying every week, and there was a hope that getting everyone vaccinated could stop the pandemic. And there was a concern that Americans were getting their news about the vaccine from these platforms, and the platforms were promoting, not just posting,
well,
but promoting bad information.
I understand all that, and I know the objectives were good. But once again, they were also getting their news from the print media and the broadcast media and cable media, and I just can't imagine the federal government doing that to them. But maybe I'm naive. Maybe that goes on behind the scenes. I don't. But I it struck me as, wow, this is not what I understand the relationship to be. That's all.
But I do. I think this is important because I have the same reaction that you do, that these emails look unusual. I think the idea that there'd be back and forth between the government and the media isn't unusual at all. When the White House press secretary on July 16th is asked about this by the press at the time, what she says is, of course we talk to the platforms just the way we talk to all of you when we have concerns about what you're doing, when we have information that you might find helpful. Now, there's an intensity of the back and forth here, and there's an anger that I think is unusual, but the context for that, I think, is that these platforms were saying publicly, we want to help. We think we have a responsibility to give people accurate information and not bad information, and we're doing everything we can to meet that goal. That's where this language of partnership comes from. It's not just from the White House. It's these platforms, which are powerful, sophisticated entities, saying we're doing the best we can. And the anger, I think really most of the anger when you read the emails, and I appreciate that you have, because I think you have to look at them in context. The anger is when the officials think that the platforms are not being transparent about the scope of the problem or aren't giving information.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. President's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Hey, It's Monday, 18 March, year of our Lord, 2024. Supreme Court today, one of the most important cases I believe they will hear. Let's bring in Mike Davis. Mike, I'm not a lawyer. I'm certainly not a constitutional lawyer. I'm not a First Amendment lawyer. I'm not sure it went so well for the home team today, brother. Tell me, give me your assessment.
Well, I mean, I don't think that would be surprising because remember with this injunction, the Supreme Court essentially 6-3 lifted the Fifth Circuit's injunction on this case, where you had the state attorneys general sue because the Biden administration is colluding with these big tech platforms with COVID and many other issues to deprioritize, to censor posts of Americans because the government doesn't like the message of the American who's posting the message. That seems like it's clear viewpoint discrimination. That seems like it's a clear First Amendment violation. So Judge Doughty down in Louisiana, who was appointed by President Trump, put an injunction in place preventing various federal government officials from communicating with these big tech platforms to censor Americans. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals largely upheld Judge Doughty's decision, but limited the injunction to fewer officials. Now, the Biden administration went to the Supreme Court to get that injunction vacated, which they were successful in doing. There were three dissents with Justice Clarence Thomas, Justice Alito, and my former boss, Justice Gorsuch. So only three dissents there to vacate that injunction that the Fifth Circuit put in place. Judge Doughty and the Fifth Circuit put in place. The issue with before the Supreme Court is everyone acknowledges that if the government coerces these big tech platforms to censor Americans based upon their political viewpoints, that's a clear First Amendment violation. But the disagreement is whether there's coercion here. There's a difference they claim between jawboning, where these officials are encouraging or even strongly encouraging these big tech platforms to censor Americans, versus coercion. I would say, and I think you would agree with this, Steve, that these big tech platforms are trillion-dollar big tech monopolists. They control information and commerce in America. They get antitrust amnesty from the government. They have Section 230 immunity from the government. They get these huge government contracts. So it's very easy for these government officials to use that as a sort of Damocles over these big tech platforms next, that if they don't do the government's censorship.
This is what I said this morning on the show. They're willing conspirators here. We don't live in capitalism. We don't live in late-stage capitalism. This is back to feudalism. This is techno-feudalism with the sociopathic overlords in Silicon Valley. They're an active partner. In fact, they're taking all the guys from the government that go over there for a while, make big paychecks, come back. You know how the system – your Article 3 started with arguing this whole thing that it's no coercion here. They're active partners. That's why I think this thing went so terrible today. It was like the court was in an alternative reality. Am I mistaken on that, or at least from my hardcore perspective?
Well, because there were only three conservative justices who said that the Fifth Circuit's injunction was lawful, and the other six justices apparently thought it was at least likely unlawful when they lifted that injunction, it kind of signaled to the rest of us where this case was going. So it shouldn't surprise me. I think that if the justices don't side with these state AGs, if the justices side with the Biden administration and these big tech platforms, they're clearly making the wrong decision. And this is going to be very destructive to free speech in this country. If the governments can get away with censoring, silencing, deplatforming and canceling, for example, doctors and scientists because they disagreed with the regime's doctors and scientists on COVID lockdowns. That used to be called the scientific method. That's how we got to better science in this country, is when doctors and scientists disagreed on the science. But that became heretical during COVID, And it was called misinformation and disinformation. And these doctors were destroyed by, you know, by the governments, by these big tech platforms. If the Supreme Court thinks that's okay, that that's permissible under the First Amendment, we're going to go down a very slippery slope very fast, and it's going to be very destructive to our free speech rights in this country.
But I want to remind everybody about this is about the vaccine hoax, which it was, because that's a that's an experimental gene therapy, and shouldn't have had any mandates on it. Good enough for the guys to try to do it, but it was it's experimental. But also about election. Look, we've been banned everywhere on all of these platforms because of this. Not that we give a damn, but people that go to these platforms should have the ability to listen to War Room. But I don't have a dog in this fight. I've never come out and said, we got to do this. It is what it is, because I think these guys are worse. I think the big tech guys are worse. They are sociopaths. They're worse than the government. They're worse than the deep state, and the deep state is about as bad as it gets. Remember, the principal thing here is about it wasn't shutting up just the vaccine. The principal thing was shutting up anybody that questioned Biden's legitimacy. This is about the election hoax of Biden winning. This was about the election crimes of the Biden regime stealing the election. That was the central heart. Yes, the vaccine and Dr. Corey, all those guys got crushed. But the central way they started, the way these criminals started, was they didn't want to have any dissent after they stole an election. Today, I didn't hear any hardball question. Maybe I missed it. Okay, you're the guy. Did it will play? In fact, let's play. Can we play Judge Brown, Justice Brown's right now? Your favorite, Mike Davis, will play this right now.
Justice Jackson.
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
And Your Honor, I understand that instinct, and I guess what I tell you is
somehow I think Justice Jackson is not a believer that our rights come directly from God. She's a believer in the French Revolution, not maybe so much the American Revolution. Mike Davis?
I mean, that was probably the dumbest and most shocking thing I've heard out of a Supreme Court justice in a very, very long time. I mean, the fact that she thinks that the government that the government should not be hamstrung by the First Amendment to the Constitution is, I mean, that's really just absolutely shocking. So I imagine because she's so intellectually honest that when President Trump is back in the White House after January 20th, 2025, and he has Mike Davis, his Viceroy of D.C., because I can't be the Attorney General, so I'm going to be his Viceroy. And I am calling Facebook and Google and Amazon and Apple and saying, you know what, I think these BLM messages are really dangerous for kids, and I think these pro-immigrant messages are very dangerous to kids. So I want you to take them down. And Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson said that not only can I be persuasive, I can be a little bit coercive to do it because it's protecting kids. And then I can use that to take down BLM's website and these pro-immigration websites. I bet you she'd be perfectly fine with that.
First off, we're going to take a break. I knew you're the Viceroy. You see, here's the thing. Media Matters takes it seriously. When you start doing the Irish ironic humor, they take it seriously. So now we're going to have Mike Davis is saying on War Room, Bannon's talked to Trump, and he's too radical to get confirmed as Attorney General. He's going to be they're going to appoint him Viceroy of the District of Columbia. We're going to take a short break. Mary Holland from the Children's Defense Foundation is a league is going to join us. We'll be back in a second. We rejoice when there's no more.
Let's take down the CCP. As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, the president of Children's Health Defense, not the viceroy, joins us now from the war room. Ma'am, you've just left outside the Supreme Court. Your assessment today, the two mics on the show, His Excellency Lord Davis and Stephen K. Bannon are a little down the dumps, so perk us up.
Well, I'm honored to be with the Viceroy and the other Excellency. It's my pleasure. I sat in on the oral argument this morning at the Supreme Court and then participated in a rally that Children's Health Defense sponsored outside the court. So I want to give sort of the upside first. It's a triumph on a certain level, Steve, to be in the Supreme Court. Most COVID cases have either been declared moot or they've been rejected on standing. And this case started in the Western District of Louisiana Federal District Court, and Judge Terry Doty on July 4th, Independence Day, issued a decision in 2023 saying this was a massive censorship industrial complex, effectively, and we have to enjoin it. We have to enjoin the Biden administration on this. And he granted an injunction, which is a very high bar, meaning that it's likely that this party is going to win on the merits. The petitioners were the states of Missouri and Louisiana and seven individual plaintiffs, that they would win on the merits, and that then that there was irreparable harm if this activity continued. And the Fifth Circuit paused that injunction and heard it themselves, and then they sort of narrowed the scope of the agencies they would restrict, but then they expanded it again. And then the government, the Biden administration, appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court stayed, paused the enforcement of the injunction pending their own review. And that happened today, March 18. So the good news is that this case about this censorship industrial complex, which was documented in 20,000 pages of evidence from the district court, got to the Supreme Court. And I'm reminded today of the saying that's attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, is first they ignore you, then they mock you, then they fight you, and then you win. And so I think what is the case today is they were battling so-called misinformation. They were censoring information about the election, information about the Biden family, and information about COVID. Children's Health Defense was deeply engaged in putting out truthful, well-sourced information about everything that was going on in COVID, about the shots, about the masks, about the lockdowns, about the testing. And we were shut out. We were deplatformed on Facebook. We were deplatformed on Twitter. We were deplatformed on Instagram. We were deplatformed from just about anything you could be on a platform for. So we had a direct interest in this. And we put in a friend of the court brief, and we are our case, the Kennedy versus Biden, which is directed specifically at these individuals in the Biden administration, that's been consolidated at the trial court. What was disappointing today, Steve, was that the court wasn't outraged by the extent of this censorship industrial complex that has come to exist over the last 4 years. I was hoping to see that kind of outrage, because the First Amendment is the First Amendment for a reason. Free speech is the fount of all other rights, of assembly, of conscience, of everything. And so I didn't feel the kind of outrage that I had hoped to feel, but I can't read the tea leaves. I don't think all hope is lost. But I didn't see the kind of the sentiment of free speech is the most important value that we have, or one of the most important. Yes, there are certain things the government can do in an emergency, and there are tests for what a government can do. But our view, based on a Supreme Court decision that's called Norwood, is that the U.S. government cannot do by proxy what it cannot do on its own. And it's very clear that they were outsourcing this censorship to the social media platforms because they knew they couldn't do this directly. And they did it in secret. We had no idea. We, the taxpayers, the citizens, would have had no idea but for the discovery in the federal district court. So I'm incredibly grateful to the federal district court for allowing this case to move forward, for putting this discovery out there. I'm grateful to the Twitter files and to all of the work that's been done by serious journalists. But we're not done yet. And no matter how the Supreme Court comes out on this, we know that the threat of a kind of totalitarian censorship is real worldwide at this point, being escalated even and outsourced further, potentially to the World Health Organization, that has put misinformation at the forefront of this idea of health. So we're in the midst of this, and I think how this case comes out is very, very significant. And we probably won't get a decision on this until June.
Yeah, I agree. Mary, hang on for a second. I'm going to come right back to you. Mike, Mary articulated what my feelings are, is that this was all hidden. And the social media companies, come on, man, they weren't coerced. They can think up 100 different better ways to do it. They're almost the lead sled dogs in this. And where's the outrage? To Mary's point, this is the freedom of the American people, and we got three justices, right, according to the great Gorsuch, and of course it's Justice Thomas's court. But where was the outrage?
And that's the problem. Think about this. How many people unnecessarily suffered and died during COVID because of scientists being censored by the regime? How many people, whether it was the bogus 6-foot rule that wasn't based upon science, the useless face masks that don't stop the spread of COVID. Think about that. If these face masks did not work, cloth face masks did not work for the first year of COVID before we got the vaccine, and the vaccine doesn't stop the spread of COVID, how did they get the science right?
Hang on. Today in the New York Times, they got a report that, with the schools, the kids lost 2 years, they'll never catch it up. And, oh, by the way, everything we said and the teachers and the unions and the education poobahs in New York said was wrong about the spread of COVID. I mean, Mary Holland and they torched the Children's Health Defense for even bringing this up. Naomi Wolf, they made her a leper for even talking about this today. Oh, upon further review and analysis, it's right. But it's years afterwards. So I think what people were missing was some of the outrage of some of the superstar justices to light people up in that room and put big tech on notice that not only deep staters, but big tech is part of the problem. This is the Mike Davis, the reason you started Article 3 and are living hand to mouth instead of being some $5 million a year lawyer at a white shoe law firm, sir.
Well, I'm too crazy to get hired by those law firms, but I would say this. Where are all these Democrats who pretend to care about these disadvantaged kids, particularly these black kids, in these schools that were shut down, right? They couldn't go to school. You didn't have teachers looking out for these kids to make sure that they weren't being neglected, to make sure that they weren't being abused. And, you know, these black kids in these inner city schools are already behind their counterparts in the white suburban schools. They weren't getting
so
an education.
Let me ask, hang on. Today they said that, but I didn't hear that in the court. Mary, you guys were vilified about the very thing the New York Times said today. It was because the issues at the court, but I didn't see anybody really standing up for the fact, and that didn't even get to a stolen election. That was just on the COVID part of it, ma'am.
So one of the things that was so disturbing today, Steve, was that none of the lawyers or the justices brought out that truthful information was knowingly being censored. And that was at the behest of the government and with the knowledge of the social media platforms. We were telling the truth about the emergency use authorization nature of these shots. Nobody knew if they were going to be safe. Nobody knew if they were going to be effective. In fact, there were probably people who knew that they weren't safe or effective and that they wouldn't stop transmission before they ever even hit the market. Marketplace. That point wasn't really effectively made. But exactly what, to Mike's point, these kids, so many people were so injured. Businesses were lost. Lives were lost. People were injured. Children were taught they were lepers. Children were kept at home. People were isolated. There was no freedom of assembly. There were no religious gatherings. There was no free expression on the internet. And none of the courts seemed to really get into that. That is what happens when you restrict speech. That is precisely why there has to be free speech. And none of the justices really picked up that torch in a way that, at least in oral argument, we could see. It doesn't mean that they won't come out with a ferocious decision. And I hope they do, because really our country is founded on free speech. And there are, it is to protect individuals' speech. And what the government did here in collusion with social media, as joint actors with social media, but the government on its own, they were suppressing third-party speech. And they were restricting what we, the people, could learn about the truth, about hydroxychloroquine, about ivermectin, about the efficacy of masks. All of that was suppressed in favor of this government orthodoxy. And it took lives. And today in the courtroom, they said twice, this was the pandemic, a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. Well, do these people not know that they're going to be creating a pandemic preparedness industry that is now moving into the White House? It's moving into the World Health Organization. This is the paradigm going forward, so that governments will be able to shut things down at a moment's notice on their own say-so. And fighting so-called misinformation is central to this new paradigm. And again, I didn't hear that urgency from the lawyers, or, well, from the lawyer for Missouri who was arguing, or from the justices, that what is the future harm of what has happened in the last 4 years is portentous. It's very, very real. And so the fight is far from over.
Mike, I got 45 seconds, and I'm going to hold you through the break. 45 seconds, what are you looking for when she says a righteous decision? What would you look for to be the appropriate decision here that we'll see in June?
I'm not optimistic about this decision, but what I would say is I think that the Supreme Court should hold that these big tech platforms control the online public square, and that online public square is government-created, government-sponsored, and government-controlled through Section 230, through antitrust amnesty, through these big federal grants. And when these big tech platforms censor Americans, I think it's a First Amendment violation on its own, but certainly when the government pushes them to do it.
Mike, where can people go to get you and get more information about this? Where are they going?
Article3project.org or article3project.org.
Amazing. Thanks, Mike. Mary Holland's going to stick around for part of the next segment. Stick around, maybe have some Warpath coffee. Let's get jacked up. Big afternoon here in the world.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that, $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
You think there's turbulence? Look what happened in the Supreme Court today. And this is not going to stop. I'm telling you, the tech overlords are going to come out of this more empowered than they've ever been. That's just reality, folks. You're going to have to, we're going to have to deal with it. Birchgold.com/Bannon, the end of the dollar empire. See why the sociopathic overlords continue to drive, because they control Washington, D.C. Let's be blunt about it. That's why the money keeps getting printed, because they're in control and we're not. But we're fighting for that control. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Find out why gold has been a hedge for 8,000 years. Find out why every couple of days we're hitting an all-time or close to an all-time price in gold. The convergent factors. Go do that today. Mary Holland, what would be the best outcome that you would hope for or anticipate in June on this ruling?
Well, I think the best outcome, Steve, is for the Supreme Court to uphold the injunction that the Fifth Circuit imposed. They've done, the trial court did the fact-finding, and the Fifth Circuit already reviewed this. So the best outcome in my mind is they uphold the preliminary injunction. The level of government censorship stops. We actually get replatformed into some of these things. And the case goes forward. There's further discovery. There's depositions. And there's interrogatories. And there's a lot more information that's exchanged. And then there's a trial. That's the best outcome, and one that I don't think is yet foreclosed. I really don't know how this is going to come out based on the oral argument today, Steve.
Okay, perfect. We'll keep, we're on this one 24/7. Before I let you go, you had mentioned about our sovereignty, and you had mentioned about World Health. We had Frank Gaffney on today, the Sovereignty Coalition. Give our audience just a quick heads up on how dangerous is what is happening in Geneva right now with that crowd. Yeah.
Well, just like you pointed out, Steve, that this whole censorship industrial complex has been created in secret. People would not know anything about it but for this case, Missouri v. Biden. It's really similar. What's happening at the World Health Organization with these international health regulations and treaty is way outside the scope of what normal Americans living their lives are looking at. And yet, this could have profound implications for our lives. The reason that the whole COVID lockdown started was because of a public health emergency declaration by the Secretary General of the World Health Organization back in 2020, 4 years ago to the week. That could happen again on a regular basis if, in fact, these international health regulations go through the World Health Assembly, which is meeting at the end of May. So we at Children's Health Defense and other organizations like Sovereignty Coalition and other group Door to Freedom, we're all focused on what's happening right now in that sphere. We've got to make sure that countries around the world say, no, we're democracies. We decide what happens with our own health. We decide what the measures are that we use in any kind of pandemic or any other health crisis. It's not going to be some secretary general who's not even a doctor who's in Geneva. It's going to be our citizens and the people that we elect and people who are accountable to us. It's not going to be some faraway bureaucracy that has no accountability, that's incredibly insulated with liability protection in some remote place. That's just not it just makes no sense in terms of human rights and in terms of health and in terms of democracy.
Mary, where do people get all the content from Children's Health? Where do you go?
Yeah, please, people, tune in to CHDTV. We broadcast every day, and we have the full coverage of a rally in front of the Supreme Court today about free speech. Some amazing speakers, doctors, lawyers, citizen activists, really interesting stuff. And we're at childrenshealthdefense.org. We have a library. We put out a newsletter every day. We're on social media, childrenshealthdefense.org.
I want to thank the young filmmaker, Claire Dooley, who was our camera operator today in the boardroom, and one of the great young filmmakers.
You.
I think she filmed, and so we can see all the great rally today. Mary, thank you so much, and thanks for the whole work from the whole Warren Posse about the great job you guys do over Children's Health. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate it. Michael Patrick Leahy, your thoughts about all this before we transition to Haiti We've got a great group of individuals up in Chicago that I know are being crushed every day by this illegal alien invasion. It's only getting worse. Tell me about your thoughts on the Supreme Court. I don't think there was enough outrage today. Your thoughts?
Steve, I'm not a constitutional attorney, but I am a journalist, and we've, at the Star News Network, have been throttled by Facebook and Google and NewsGuard. I didn't hear a lot of argument, a lot of questioning from any of the Supreme Court justices to defend my right to publish the truth and not be throttled. I'm pessimistic about how that's going to turn out.
Yeah, no, it's grim. Mary's, though, she makes a good case, so we'll stay on top of this one. Haiti, you talked to some senior diplomats today. Biden's in back of this. We're going to talk to some folks in Chicago whose lives every day get worse because there's 9 million, 10 million illegal alien invaders in this country and more coming because of the Biden regime. Your thoughts on Haiti, sir?
Yeah, on my radio show, Michael Patrick Leahy Show, heard on the John Fredericks Radio Network, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 760 a.m. here in Nashville, I interviewed the former U.S. Special Envoy to Haiti, Dan Foote. And Dan confirmed everything that Todd Bensman told you on Saturday, that indeed the United States scuttled the 2021 free and fair elections in Haiti. And that scuttling was really the proximate cause of the current failed state in Haiti. And it's interesting because you broke this and it became significant over the past week with the disasters in Haiti. But look, everything Todd Bensman told you about the forced repatriation of 15,000 Haitian immigrants in 2021 from the Del Rio migrant camp were true. And a deal was cut with Ariel Henry. This fellow, Dan Foote, was sent down to Haiti after the assassination of Henry's predecessor. And guess what? The predecessor cut a deal, took in about 7,000 of those Haitians in deportation plane rides from ICE Air, and the elections never happened. He resigned in protest, and he's not gone back since.
Michael Patrick Leahy, where do people go to get to your news network? Where do they go to get your show?
TheTennesseeStar.com, TheTennesseeStar.com. And you can follow me on social at Michael P. Leahy. Michael P. Leahy, that's Twitter, Getter, True Social, all of the above.
Leahy, thank you so much. Thank you for the great work you're doing. We're going to pull the clip from Foote, who basically confirmed what Bensman said. Matt Gaetz has just put out. He's demanding that Biden call out the United States Navy to act as a shield to the state of Florida and return to repatriate, not to let folks go to Gitmo, not to let them go to Key West, but to repatriate them back to Port-au-Prince right now to get the Coast Guard out of the way, who are acting as escort vessels. Ben Burquam, you're in Chicago. These heart-rending videos you've been playing of the citizens of the United States in Chicago that are being abused by the Biden regime and the administrative state to bear the brunt of this illegal alien invasion. What say you, sir?
Yeah, Steve, I'll let them say it themselves. I'm going to start with Pastor Lori.
First, give an honor to God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for making it possible to be here. This is a travesty of justice. Federal laws have been broken. We have illegal immigrants in our country. We have veterans and we have homeless people here in Chicago that are still sleeping under the viaducts. They don't have food to eat, and yet they're giving millions of dollars to illegal aliens who are here, who are not a part of this country, who have never spent one penny. And to the American people and patriots across this country, it's time for us to be one America. No longer can we sit back and say, I'm a white American, I'm a black American. We have to be Americans right now and stand up to the tyranny that we see that the Democratic Party is doing in our community. You're talking about our schools. You're talking about pedophiles, drug cartels, drugs here. You got immigrants killing people and shooting people and intimidating. This is not the American way of life. And I just think the American people need to stand up right now, push back, and say no more to the Democrats. Say no more to those who are stealing money and taking money, especially the black politicians and the black community across this country, who will not stand up for the black community. Because if the black politicians stood up and answered the call and asked questions why and said no, that we will not have illegals here. If the black politician said no, we're not going to have homosexuals and transgenders in our schools. It's up to the black politicians to stop this, but they haven't. So I'm telling black people across this country, we can no longer vote for the Democratic Party. We can no longer sit back and let them allow them to destroy our community. We must make that change. And I'm suggesting that black people across the country watching this, that we stand up and put Donald Trump back into office, because when he was in office, we didn't see all of this. There was no inflation. There was no wars. There was no illegal immigrants in our country. Trump did what he needed to do to secure the borders. And now that the Democrats are in office, our whole country has gone to hell in a handbasket. And if the American people and patriots across this country, especially Christians, those who say they love God and Christ, if we don't stand together and become the body of Christ to stop the evil that we see, then we're going to lose this country pretty much, Ben.
Pastor, let me ask you a follow-on. Hang on, Ben. Pastor, the black community has been the foundational element of the Democratic Party. The Federal Reserve Chairman has said that the central reason they allowed these 10 million illegal alien immigrants in was to drive down labor costs, to basically drive down, because the working class wages were the problem in inflation. What say you to that? That this has been a well-thought-through, not chaotic, this has been a well-thought-through invasion of our country, planned and exacerbated by the Democratic Party to destroy the wages of black and African-American working-class families.
Well, that was part of the plan. I think it was the bigger plan, yes, to destroy the black community, to push wages down to zero or nothing, to take jobs out of our community. But the biggest issue that I can see, this is a spiritual war, Mr. Bannon. This war is being fought, and it's time for Christians to stand up. It's time for pastors to come together and take their rightful place and say no to this government and what they're doing. And if we don't understand where we're at right now, and the American people and patriots across this country don't come together and deal with this issue, then we're losing. We're losing our children in the schools to evil. Half of them cannot even read or write. They're graduating at 90%. The math proficiency is in the low teens. Reading, all of these things are against what the American people and the American way of life that have been for us for so many years. And I just think that it's time that all Americans get together. We have to stand together and unify ourselves, and we have to get the Democrats out of office. And that's why I'm telling black folks across the country, we need a checkup from the neck up. We need to get them out of our community. We need to stand together. We need to put somebody in the community and make sure we change the leadership locally so that we can get all the things that we deserve, opposed to our money going to all of these illegals and nothing coming back to our communities here in America.
Yeah, and Steve, I think Bob Israel, I know you could jump in on that as well. And I want to get Terrence in here as well. Go ahead.
Yes,
Ben, hang on for 1 second. I got to go to break. Just hold the guys. I'm going to come back. We're going to take a short commercial break. Want to make sure everybody goes, checks out. See, right here, you're seeing people prepared to stand up and fight back. The pastor is absolutely correct. It's a spiritual war. At its heart, it's a spiritual war. And I hope and I pray that that message is starting to get some traction. Make sure times of turbulence are with us. They're going to be ahead of us, and they're going to be even when Trump wins. That's when the really hard work starts. So that's not going to go away. Make sure you go check out birchgold.com, promo code Bannon. Birchgold.com. Use the password Bannon to get to Philip Patrick and the team to ask them why gold has been a hedge for 8,000 years, and also what are the converging forces now that's making gold hit all-time highs every couple of days. Short commercial break. Going back to Chicago in a moment. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, Ben Berquam is in Chicago. Ben, let me turn it back to you. I want to get as many voices into this conversation as possible. We got 8 minutes before we wrap up. Go ahead, Ben.
Yep, I'm going to hand it over to Bob Israel and just kind of going to go around the group here. Bob, they were talking about taking the jobs away, the representation in the community. What's your message?
Well, thanks for letting me speak. The illegal aliens, is it safe to say that? Illegal? Okay. The illegal aliens are taking our jobs, and I'm just leave it at this. It's going to be a bloodbath.
And it already is. Now, I want to say that. He's being a little facetious there, but it already is a bloodbath in Chicago. I want to get you in on here, Terrence. You're raising up these young guys, teaching them basketball, but it's already a bloodbath in Chicago. No one cares about that. A real, literal bloodbath.
It's Chirac.
Well, it's a problem because those individuals who we deemed or voted in as aldermen, you know, those leaders, they're not really representing the community, and that's the biggest problem. You know, I know myself, I've been raising money, you know, of course, to go on a national tournament, basketball tournament with my youngsters. And we can't get the politicians to help. We can't get the aldermen to help. It's always coming from the parents. And in this case, when you're doing something like this for the youngsters, that's a community thing. It says it takes a village to raise those. So I'm looking for them to put forth their hand, and they never do. So that's the.
And what's the organization again?
This is the Chicago Stars basketball organization.
And so they're spending millions on illegals. But nothing for you?
Nothing for me. And I've been doing this for almost 30 years. Nothing for me. Wow. Nothing for me.
Unbelievable. Sir,
hey, Ben, yes, can I? Ben.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Let me just ask a question. As many veterans, as many people that live in Chicago and the community that have served the country for generation and generation, many people have been here for 150, 200 years. How can they possibly just turn their back on American citizens? These are American citizens we're talking about. How do they prioritize foreigners over American citizens? What is their rationale for doing that?
Yeah, I'll let you guys jump in. Anyone who wants to jump in on that?
Well, I want to say a little bit of something about that. It's by design. It's by design. The first thing that I noticed is when they put the illegal aliens in our community is the way we're treated in the black community, they want to pit us against each other. That's their objective. There is no middle class. They want to eliminate that completely, totally, eliminate the middle class and control the narrative to have the upper class and then the lower class. The children aren't being educated in schools. We can't get anything, resources whatsoever. I've been in this community. I've born and raised in the south side of Chicago. I've lived in America all my life. Do you know how it makes me feel as a man when they have these stereotypes that there are no strong black men in our community, no strong black women in our community? This right here is a show that we are strong and we are caring about our community, but when we lift our voices, no one is listening. The politicians that we put in office, they're not doing their jobs. So as we were speaking earlier today, what we're going to do is we're going to hold them responsible for their actions. We're going to expose them for the corruption and things that they're not doing. We should be able to get the same type of treatment that you're giving people that are not even American citizens, and we've had enough of it. This brother was absolutely correct. What's going to happen is you're going to have a bloodbath in the communities, and that's exactly what they want, for us to eliminate one another.
Thank you, sir. Come up over here, young man.
Help.
And Terry, I want to get you down here. You were talking about that earlier, about the division.
Yes.
Come up closer so they can see you.
Immigrants being in the community, we have to understand that we don't own a community. And we have to start holding local politicians accountable. Once we do those things, start owning the community and hold politicians accountable, these type of things won't be thrust down our throat. We have to understand and fight back on the local level. Yes, I understand it's a political a presidential election coming up, but we need to understand, we need locally, we need to understand our mayors, our senators, our congressmen, our aldermen. We need to understand that these are the people who's really allowing these things to happen. And when we look at our community, we need to understand, you can't complain about people coming in and intruding on your community when you don't own a community. They going for the highest dollar. It's the messed up thing to see or say, but that's just what it is. When you could put a person out who was paying you $600 rent and the government telling you, I would pay you $2,000 rent for this illegal, that's just what it is. They take more money. We need to take back our community on an ownership level. So many homes has been passed down. We've wrecked our own communities when we look at the violence, the drugs, and things of that nature. This how they were able to come in and just drop them in our community and say, you got to take it. So we have to understand, we got to fight back ourselves. It's enough complaining. We have to move forward and unite. I'm talking about American people, and especially poor Americans in these ghettos and these communities where they are dropping them off. They're not dropping them off in the affluent communities. They're dropping them off on us. So we have to come together and understand ownership and holding our politicians accountable. That's all.
And I want to give Terry just a quick second here. Terry's one of the guys who got me here to Chicago and introduced me to all these guys. So it's not just the black community, it's the Italian community, it's everybody.
Yeah, ex-Democrat, Italian-American, Union family, southwest side of Chicago. My family's all Republicans now and fed up with what's been going on, you know, with the Democratic Party. A lot of union, I have lots of friends that are union leaders. I don't understand why they're not upset with what's going on. They're pumping all these illegals. They're going to be going after. Matter of fact, I saw at Home Depot, they're trying to get jobs. They're standing outside Home Depot asking, you know, people to pick them up and give them jobs, paying cash while they're being paid by us, while they're living in a housing that we're paying for. And we got to all come together. They don't want us talking like this. They don't want us to see us come together as one people fighting for the United States of America. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Democrat, or Republican. If we don't have a country, doesn't matter what you do for a living or what your color is. We have to come together and not let them win.
Steve?
Hey Ben, just ask the pastor, how do we avoid, somebody said a bloodbath or bloodshed, how do we avoid that? I got my minute left. Tell me, how do we avoid this? Because we don't want it to devolve to that stage. How is that to be avoided?
We can avoid this by, first of all, black folks, white folks, and all of us need to come together. The black community has been inundated. We all need to rally around the black community as Americans and stop it. We need to get the politicians out of office who continue to perpetrate these crimes. It's going to take us as one America to be able to make this change. And I do see the change in 2024 when we all go to the polls and we put Donald Trump back into office to get this country great again.
And real quick, Steve, how can people follow you?
You can find me on TECNTV.com, 6 o'clock.
TECN.com.
TECNTV.com, or you can find me at rumble.com, David Lowe, 1057, 6 p.m. Central. Let the truth be told.
All right, Steve.
Guys, thank you very much. Ben, get all the social media. We'll put it up. I want to thank everybody in that room. Amazing. Short commercial break. Back for the 6 o'clock hour in a moment. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical, that's one word, J-A-S-E, medical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action. .com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. WARROOM Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.